Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you a dad? Tell me, what kind of parent are you, whether you're a dad or a mom? Can you imagine what it would be like to slow down and actually be present for your kids? That would be pretty hard to do in today's world. Have you ever wanted to know why you have trouble connecting with your kids? The older they get, I'll tell you, the harder it gets. Now, would you like to learn what happens when dad and moms aren't equals in the relationship? Tell me, have you ever heard of a series of books called Dadly? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to become a better dad or a better mom? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. He's a success coach extraordinaire, and he's a fantastic dad. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about parenting. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show has now had over 3.9 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is a dad, and he is the founder of the Dadly Rally, co-author of the book Dad's Behaving Dadly, 1 and 2 book series. He is also the author of 6 other parenting books, fatherhood expert, and he's appeared on Oprah. He has co-founded and helped establish several fatherhood networks in the USA since 1992. He has received international attention, and he lives in Los Angeles, California. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show again, Hogan Hilling. Hi, Hogan. How are you doing today?
Oh, January, I'm feeling so dadly, and thank you for inviting me into the No Wine Zone. The only thing that's missing is a glass of wine.
Okay, well, during the break, you can go get one, okay?
Okay, thank you for giving me permission to do that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say hello to your audience of parents, especially the dads. Thanks for listening to January Jones Show.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so much fun. You've been on the show before. Let's share a little bit with my listeners who are new and haven't heard you before, a little bit about your success story, where it began, and who your early mentors were.
Great questions. Well, I think I was very lucky and fortunate to be reunited with my father, Hank, after 27 years of separation. And I got a chance to – he lived in Brazil at the time. So I flew all the way down to Brazil and spent 6 months with him. And, you know, it's almost I got a time to really understand who I was. And I was very happy at the opportunity to meet my dad. And I got to know him as a 27-year-old son. And through that experience of reuniting with him and not having any animosity and just trying to, you know, start a relationship anew and getting to listen to his side of the story made me realize that he really wanted to be an active, involved dad. Just that during that time when my mom and dad divorced, she left the country and moved us to the Netherlands. So it was next to impossible back in the 1950s for him to actually be physically present. And my mom never talked about my dad. And so when I went to talk to my dad, he shared his side of the story, and I realized that he missed me more than I missed him. And I wasn't a dad at the time. I was single. You know, he was crying and asking me to forgive him. And when I saw that, when I learned from him, the effort he put into trying to locate me didn't result in him being involved for various reasons, one of which is my mom and her family members didn't allow him to have a contact. Plus, there was a distance issue.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was growing up as a little kid, all you're thinking about is, oh, I miss my dad. I miss my dad. And when I got to meet my dad, I realized he missed me more than he missed me more than I missed him. And after a couple of days of thinking about that moment I had with him, I'd made a pact to myself. I said, if I ever become a father, I would always make sure that I would be involved no matter what, not just for my kids, but for me as well. It was kind of a selfish reason, and that was because I never wanted to feel the pain that Hank felt not having me in his life.
Oh,
so that's what inspired me to, you know, be the best dad I could be. And then when I became a father, our situation was unique. And my wife and I decided that give me a shot at staying home. Fortunately, I was the second option, not daycare, you know. And, of course, we got all that stigma about, you know, well, men can't do this. They don't belong in the kitchen. They belong at the workplace. And so anyway, I decided to be the at-home dad, and I just fell in love with it. I was the at-home dad for 20 years. And that journey, I guess you could say that my kids inspired me to stay involved. And so from that, I decided to start being a father and advocate. I kind of like stumbled onto it. And as a result, I wrote one book in 2002. And then now it's 2015, 8 books later.
Okay. Well, you've been very prolific and very busy. And also, I'd like to welcome to the show your guest, and he is a dad to 4 amazing children. But beyond that, he teaches communication and leadership studies and researches ways that mindfulness can be used to make us all better people. He is intrigued by what happens when parents slow down, savor the little moments, and offer their children their full presence. After working with parents for several years, he founded Mindful Dad, a collaborative community effort that seeks to reconnect dads with their families on a deeper level. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show today Josh Meisner. Hi, Josh. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for having me, January.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on the show. And I have to tell you, your last name, I adore it because my maiden name was Wisner, Wisner. So, you know, maybe we're related. Who knows?
Maybe going back a ways.
Well, you know, Hogan's just shared a little bit about how his success story began and who his early mentors are. Josh, could you do that too for us?
Yes, absolutely. Well, my road to getting here really was a pretty rocky one. when I first became a father, of course, I had no manual teaching me how to become a father or how to be a good father, even what a good father looked like. So I really only had my own experiences growing up with my father as kind of that model. And my dad grew up in a very different time where dads really weren't that big of a part of their kids' lives, or at least not, that wasn't the norm. And so for probably the first, gosh, close to 10 years of being a father, I really just kind of only emulated my father because I wasn't aware that there were other possibilities of being a dad. And so as I started to kind of become more aware that there are other possibilities, there's other things that I could do, other approaches that I could take to fatherhood, I really started expanding that. And then as I started researching ways to be more mindful, which in a sense is very closely related to being aware, I realized that mindfulness has a huge impact on the relationship that I have with my children. And so it really all just, it took off from there. And ever since I started incorporating mindfulness into my behaviors as a father, my relationship with my children has never been deeper. And it only continues to deepen.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, we have that Dr. Josh Meisner and Hogan Hilling provide a pathway for fathers to earn their places as parenting equals. Their mindful approach helps dads commit to being present for their children and an integral part of tomorrow's memories. They also teach fathers how to be mindful in relationships with other dads, their wives, moms, and other adults who are part of their parenting network. So basically, this book is for moms and dads to read, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's directed towards dads, but it's a great book for the moms to pick up, you know, just to give them a perspective on fatherhood a little bit, and to also maybe, you know, be supportive of helping dads to embrace the mindfulness approach that Josh is an expert at.
Yeah, so many times everyone just feels like only a mother can do the job, and more fathers are stepping up to the plate. More and more fathers are at home with their children. Your book is The Dadly Way, 10 Steps to More Active Fatherhood and Equal Parenting. Okay, Josh, what's the first step?
Really, the first step is to, I think, realize that there are options. And that's pretty much like I was saying, that's kind of what facilitated my route to being a more mindful father, was just kind of recognizing that. And so as we start to become more mindful and we start to become more aware of all of the possibilities, then we effectively have more control over our actions and over our approaches and our relationships with our children. So really, like, the first step is just, it's just that, it's becoming more aware of the options and the possibilities.
And in today's world, there are so many options and there are so many possibilities. You know, we have an option now, and it's to hear from our sponsors, and we're going to do that. And when we come, and when we come back, Hogan, I'd like you to share what step two is. We'll be right back.
With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine, certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive. She brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com. Are you pursuing your passion, doing what you really want to do in life? Do you ever feel everyone around you is succeeding, leaving you behind, feeling unhappy and unsatisfied with your life? There are many ways to become successful, but getting there is half the battle. In his book, Finding Your Road to Success, How to Get There Without Getting Lost, Patrick Daniel shares tips on what it really takes to be successful as a CPA, chartered professional accountant, author, life coach, charity founder, investor, and family man. Patrick lives success every day of his life. Connect with Patrick at www.findingyourroadtosuccess.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
I'm so pleased to announce that Real Fast Talk Radio was just launched this past week, and I've sent the word out, and I hope anyone who is interested in a career in radio will check it out. Right now, we're visiting with Hogan Hilling and Josh Meisner, and they are the authors of the they're actually working on a event called the Dadley Rally. What is that going to be?
Yeah, you can learn more about the Dadley Rally at www.dadleyrally.com, and it's debuting in Los Angeles, March 12, 2016. And basically, it's just an opportunity for dads to network with the best resource they have as each other. It's a conference-based event, one-day event with morning workshops. In the afternoon, we have just open discussion groups based on family dynamics and age of children. We have a mom's panel in the morning. We have a keynote speaker mom, keynote speaker dad. In the afternoon, we have a dad panel. And then at the end of the day, we have two comedians that are coming in to share the lighter side of parenthood.
Okay.
So if dads come, we're going to get a good laugh at the end of the day. So please, please visit the website at www.dadleyrally.com.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Okay, Hogan, what's step two for active fatherhood? What's the next thing we should do?
Well, you know, Josh did a wonderful job explaining mindfulness, and it's not just about being in the moment with your kids, but it's also being mindful of what your surroundings are, who you're interacting with, and the mixed messages that you get. So step two is really, it's titled The Myth of Father Absence. And basically what we're saying in that chapter is to not fall for the propaganda that exists in our culture about the stigma of men as dads.
Mm-hmm.
We did some research on this, and believe it or not, there is no clear definition of father absence.
Okay.
People just assume father absence means the guy that is not present or, you know, officially part of the family, whether divorced or whatever circumstances they are. And then we did a further research on this, and that nobody's actually done any research, and this is the most important part. Nobody's done any research on what causes father absence. We have made this assumption that father absence can only be caused by the father removing himself from the family, and that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, we're teaching men, say, look, you know, this stigma, that don't buy into it. And being mindful means understanding who you are as a person, and drumming up the courage to say no. You know, like, for example, one of the reasons I put the book together and was so appreciative of Josh doing this is that, you know, we honestly feel that the responsible active dads far outnumber the irresponsible absent dads.
Yeah.
But the perception is the other way around.
Oh, yeah. That's so, so true. Okay, Josh, what is step number three and this process?
Well, step number three really comes back to mindfulness once again. So as Hogan was talking about how we need to become more aware of the stigma that is being spread as far as father absence, the third step dives into how we're kind of socialized into this, even from as early as childhood, how women are socialized to believe your job is nurturing, it's compassion, it's staying home with the children, it's providing all of the emotional support, and men are supposed to be the providers and the disciplinarian and the teacher. And once we become aware of that, and we kind of see how that socialization takes place, only then can we really break the cycle and say, look, dads can also be emotionally supportive. Dads can also be compassionate. Women can also be great disciplinarians and teachers. And mm-hmm. so once we recognize that, then maybe both moms and dads can balance things out a little bit better.
You know, Hogan, and now we see so many situations where men marry men, women marry women, and then they go on and parent and have wonderful families. So they basically, in a situation where you have two dads, they're basically both dad and mom, aren't they?
Yes, you know, for the most part. I mean, again, as Josh pointed out, is that a lot of what we do is we begin stereotyping, whether it's a traditional or at-home dad or whether it's a gay couple. Mm-hmm. You know, who's to judge who is a better parent, whether it's a man or a woman? Mm-hmm. I think, look, the great thing is that even with the gay population is that at least the kids have two parents, two adults that are working together, that are mindful about what their role is as parents. Mm-hmm. And if we can, as moms and dads, in traditional sense, look at each other gender as the parent instead of looking at dads differently and saying, oh, well, the dad doesn't differ. That means he's doing it wrong. Why isn't he doing it the mom's way? And vice versa. So, you know, I think if we just focus on mom and dad just being parents, that's what our kids are going to model.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true. Okay.
Because it's
now,
not the kids that bring up the gender stereotypes, it's the adults.
Yeah. Okay. Hogan, we're talking about what step four is, and could you share with us what is that to help you achieve more active fatherhood and equal parenting?
Well, I actually live this. As I mentioned in the introduction, I decided to become the at-home dad or at-home parent. Mm-hmm. And I experienced issues similar to those of the women when they wanted to enter the workforce. They had to make adjustments. They had to prove that they belong there. And women have done a wonderful job proving that they belong in corporate America. And now here, there's a huge pendulum swing where in 1991, I decided to become an at-home parent and actually fell in love with it. And in my heart, it was like, oh, I love this. I want to do it. But the mixed messages I was getting from everyone was, Hogan, you're supposed to be the financial provider. Why are you doing this? We don't understand. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was questioning my decision. Everybody else around me was questioning my decision and also questioning my masculinity. Uh-huh. And, you know, and that's part of the reason why I wrote this book is that, look, I was aware of my surroundings and I wasn't going to let those mixed messages dictate how I was going to behave as a parent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the more mindful I became and the more active I became as a dad, the more I became to rebrand my masculinity and also the image of fatherhood.
Okay. And how many children do you have, Hogan?
I have three boys.
Three boys. And were they supportive when you stayed at home with them?
Of course they were. They were just happy to have a parent there. They didn't care whether it was mom or dad.
Uh-huh.
Especially because I had boys, all the boys would come to my house and it would be like, the boys club. Oh, let's go to Mr. Hilling's house. So it was great. No, they did love it.
Okay. It sounds like it was a fun place for everyone to hang out, and it was probably an easy place to hang out. Speaking of fun things, we're going to hear from some sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Josh about step number five, and they're also going to share their website information and tell you how you can get their books. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in four different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.connie'srandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered: Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion, by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com.
Become the next great business success story by getting free PR for your business. That's why January Jones is offering a free copy of the new audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Your copy is free for the asking at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com. Go now.
Welcome back with my guests today, Hogan Hilling and Josh Meisner, and they are the authors of an amazing book that they worked on. It's called The Dadly Way, 10 Steps to a More Active Fatherhood and Equal Parenting. Josh, could you share the website information and share with our listeners how they can get this wonderful book?
Yes, absolutely. I'd be happy to. The website that you can find out more about being a more mindful father, as well as more about The Dadly Way, is mindfuldad.org. Again, that's mindfuldad.org. And you can purchase the book from any major book retailer such as Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that information. Now, Josh, could you share what step number five is?
Well, step number five is great. And Hogan came up with this great acronym for EGO, Everyone's Greatest Obstacle, which I think really defines the ego. And much of my teaching is in how to set aside our egos and kind of get over ourselves and be more on equal footing with other people. And so step five really kind of teaches dads how to overcome the greatest obstacle, which is ourselves and our self-importance, or in essence, our ego. Because a lot of dads are afraid to ask for assistance in much the same way that we're afraid to ask directions sometimes. So we need to get over that, and we need to reach out for help from other men as well as women. We can learn a lot from one another as parents in general. And so this particular step really teaches dads how to effectively communicate their wants, their needs, and their desires as parents. Truly, we believe that fatherhood is an enormous responsibility and that no man should or could attempt to do it alone.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Well, anyone who's listened to my show, they will know that I love acronyms and I love to use them. And I'm certainly going to remember EGO when I think of the two of you coming on the show. This is really fun. Hogan, share with us step number six, please.
Yeah, step number six came as a result of the workshops I did with moms and dads. And step six is be the solution, not the problem. When I was doing these workshops with moms and dads, there was a lot of finger pointing going on to each gender, and saying, oh, you know, why isn't my husband doing it this way, or why isn't my wife doing it this way? The spouses were looking at each other as the problem. We should be looking, number one, also. We should be looking, and also sometimes we found out with dads is sometimes they lack confidence and they feel like, oh, I'm the problem. Something's wrong with me. I'm not good enough. And so what we're teaching in mindfulness is, look, you know, stop being part of the problem. Be the solution. And once you can identify for yourself that I'm the solution, then you turn to your spouse and you do the same thing and you say, look, she's the solution. For example, there's some behaviors that I might be doing that are triggering her to become defensive. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm back to that definition of insanity, you know, doing the same behavior and expecting a different result. Well, if you're not getting the result you want, then there's something that I'm doing that's not resonating with my spouse.
Okay.
And so once I get past that, then the second step is to say, oh, look, okay, now I've made some headway, and now I got to find a way to look at my spouse as a solution. Now that she's become part of the solution, how can we work together to resolve some of the issues that we're dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the kids, but it's also with the marriage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this, you know, seriously, this book is for people who are raising children by themselves. It's people for who are married. This book cuts across. It's for everyone, isn't it, Josh?
Yes, absolutely. Even though we call it the Dadly Way, anybody can apply this mm-hmm. information, anybody, because it really is about promoting more equal parenting, more of an equal mm-hmm. share of the burden of raising children, whether it's role models or parents themselves.
Uh-huh. And I think it's such an important thing for equal parenting, for the fathers to be active. I was very fortunate. My husband was home a lot because he was an airline pilot. So half of the month he worked and the other half he was home. And so our children were involved in watching two people doing this as a team. And it's all about teamwork, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, definitely January. You know, and that's what we're striving to do, is to help parents, whether you're traditional, even in a divorce situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because mm-hmm. of the family dynamics doesn't mean that you can't work together as a team. And that's why there's such emphasis on the subtitle. Again, you know, I feel today's modern dads are more active than our forefathers. And what Josh and I are attempting to do is mm-hmm. to show fathers, okay, you're at this level now, but if you take this mindfulness approach, you can take this to a much higher level, not only for the relationship with your kids, but the relationship mm-hmm. with your spouse and with other adults, with the community. And so this really is about encouraging moms and dads to look at parenting as an equal responsibility.
Yes. Josh, what's step number 7?
Well, for step 7, I'm actually going to defer to Hogan, because step 7 was Hogan's brainchild, this idea of being a friendly father. So, Hogan, take it away.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Josh, for your confidence in me, because there's one some of the chapters I was definitely going to defer to you. But anyway, yeah. Becoming father friendly. And again, it was through my experience. What I found out is that, and nobody disputes the comment I'm just about to share with you, is that the parenting world is mom bias. And I mean, there's mm-hmm. a greater support system. We kind of tend to see moms as the experts. And mm-hmm. I had so many dads get frustrated and say, well, you know, there's not the environment's not father friendly. And I said, well, that's not everybody else's responsibility to be father friendly. It's your responsibility to make the area of the fatherhood environment safe and not judgmental. And we also did a little bit of research, and we found out that there is no definition of father friendly while we were doing the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you have organizations promoting father friendly, but they had no definition. So Josh and I made up a definition and registered with the Urban Dictionary. So now there is an official definition. But to really get to the crux of the matter here is that, men don't know how to act friendly. They don't know how to act father friendly, not only to even to their own gender. And what we're trying to point out in this book is, be mindful that in order for you to create a father friendly environment, you need to know how to be friendly to other fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to teach guys. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have that definition? Could you read that to us? Is it handy?
You know what?
Maybe in the next.
Not off the top. No. Yeah, in the next segment, I'll look it up and then tell you. But anyway, Chuck, can I give you an example of quick example of father friendly?
Sure, sure.
Or do we have time for that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm using my own. I'm using my own experience, and I'm just going to show father friendly in a mom's environment. I went to the playground with my two children on a Tuesday morning. You know, how many dads are able to do that? Well, I enter the playground, and the moms, I mean, I walked in and to the playground, and I could sense the tension. Some of the moms left. Some of the moms would grab their kids. In part, you know, and I was frustrated because here I was a dad, the parents showing up, and all of a sudden I was getting the I wasn't getting the response I thought I'd get.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home, and I was frustrated, and I thought for a minute, I go like, wait a second, let's take a mindful approach to this and look at the mm-hmm. bigger picture. Number one, moms are indoctrinated with this notion that when a man comes to the playground, that he's a stranger, and they put a defense mechanism. If you look at the stranger videos, it's always a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to understand from their point of view what I looked like when I walked in the playground.
Uh-huh.
Well, the other thing I wasn't aware of is that I'm 6 foot six. I'm Dutch Indonesian. I look different, and I don't have a natural smile. So, you know, I'd be scared of myself, too, if I saw me coming. You know? So I finally said to myself, look, you know what? What things can I do to make the playground safe environment? And mm-hmm. so I can prepare that environment so that it's friendly the moment I walk in. So what I did was I worked on my smile. I would come in with a big smile. I would give that ambience that I wanted to be there. I would bring extra toys for the kids.
Okay.
And I would throw the toys on the ground. And then all of a sudden, my kids would be the icebreaker. And I would do my best to always be sitting down.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, long story short, all of a sudden, you know, the reason the environment changed is because I changed it.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, moms were inviting me to coffee, the potluck luncheons, letting me watch their kids. It was wonderful, right? And then in terms of like an example with the dads, okay, we don't reach out, as Josh mentioned earlier. You know, we let our egos get in the way, and we don't ask for help. We don't go to dads and get together like moms. I mean, there's a lot dads can learn from moms because they get together naturally. So mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is we're trying to motivate dads to say, look, you know, it's okay to call a guy down the street and say, let's start a play group or let's meet together with a bunch of guys and, you know, talk about being a dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so true, because when I think back on my parents, my father, he was very nice man, but very stern. My husband is not a smiler. And of course, he's married to me and I'm a compulsive. One time we went on a game show. We were on Family Feud, and they kept saying to him, could you smile? Could you smile? And he kept saying, I am smiling.
It's just not that Magic Johnson smile, right?
Yeah, and he actually thought he was smiling, and he looked so stern. But that is very good story that you shared, that it's that you have to look at the situation and realize what the other people are thinking when you encounter them, and you have to do the adjusting. I think that's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that, Hogan. Right now, we're going to share our sponsors, and we'll be back with Dawson Hogan.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back with my guests, Josh Meisner and Hogan Hilling. Let's talk a little bit about, Josh, step number 8.
Wonderful.
Oh, excuse me, January, did you want that definition of father family?
Stop the parenting wars. So just dwell on that for a second. Think about that, the parenting wars. Not a day goes by that I don't see an article being shared via social media that has something to do with talking about the mommy wars or mom shaming. And then among fatherhood community, we see the same thing. We see dad shaming. And as Hogan brought up earlier, this idea of questioning masculinity, you know, when someone challenges expectations for what a man should be. And so what we really wanted to address was this idea of the parenting wars, these internal struggles between moms and dads, moms and other moms, dads and other dads. And we really wanted to look at the root of this conflict and to kind of unpack this cycle, to kind of see where its roots are and to see what it does to children as well, how it teaches children to be in conflict with one another. And it kind of, when you start unpacking it and looking at it from a more objective stance, you start to see how ridiculous it is and how unnecessary it is and how important it is for us to be better role models for our children and how important it is for us to handle our conflict in a more productive manner.
Oh, yeah. Hogan, you have that definition now for father friendly. Could you share that with our listeners?
Oh, yes. Thank you, January. Yeah, and I have to credit Josh because he's the one that came up with the definition. And father-friendly is the open expression of value for the role of a father as an equal, necessary parent, which is communicated through welcoming means that promote, nurture, and sustain the responsibilities involved with fatherhood.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's very, very good. And what is step 9, Hogan?
Yeah, step 9 is just to be aware that the children are watching. Now that we've identified now that we've identified that, you know, the parents are having these wars with each other, is that, as you know, when we were kids, we were told, you know, act a certain way, and then you look at parents and my parents and, you know, and adults, and they're doing just the opposite. So kids are going to model the behaviors that we do, not what we say. And so, like, for example, you know, when I talk about the story about how we have all these adjectives that we place not only in front of dads, but moms, but I'm just going to use dads as an example, is that when I became a dad, you know, people identified me as a working dad. And then when I became and decided to be the at-home parent, everybody told me, they would start calling me the at-home dad. And then I had a child with special needs, and people were calling me, oh, he's a father of a child with special needs. And, you know, then we have dads that are called divorced dads or single dads or stepdads. Mm-hmm. And we got to stop putting adjectives in front of the word dad, parent, or mom. Because if you really watch our kids, and we can learn so much from them as well, and that's part of being mindful, is to get in their world. And when the kids introduce any dad or parent to their friends, they don't, in my case, my kids never said this. They said, oh, this is my 6'6", Dutch Indonesian, blah, 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 at-home dad. They didn't put all these adjectives in front, you know. They just turned around and said, this is my, he's a little weird, but this is my dad, okay. It's just dad, and it's just mom. So it's these kinds of things that we point out in this chapter, is just be more mindful about what your behavior in front of the children. And not only are they watching, they're taking notes too.
Yeah, the little pictures with big eyes and really, really big ears. So many times parents will argue or discuss things and they think that the children can't hear them. Guess what? Those kids can hear everything that's going on, and if you're having an argument, they're all over it. Don't you agree, Josh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this really brings us into the final step, step 10, which all of the previous 9 steps have really led up to that moment. And so step 10 is being present with purpose. And so that's a really powerful concept to consider, but that is the essence of mindfulness. Being mindful means that I am aware of what is going on in front of me in the present moment, and I am not just aware by accident, but I am aware on purpose and with intention. And so when we are present with our children, with that sense of purpose, children as young as, I mean, even infants have been shown to be able to recognize this sense of presence. And the degree to which it affects our relationship with our children is astounding. And so when we are present with our children, then that's when we can start savoring the moment. And when we truly savor the moments, whether they're good or whether they're bad, or completely indifferent, those are what is responsible for creating the memories of tomorrow. And I know that one thing that inspires me more than anything else is the thought of when my children look back on their childhood, I want them to see that I played a supporting role and that I was there and I was active. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we need to keep in mind with every moment.
Oh, absolutely.
And not distracted, staring at a phone or staring at another screen or thinking about all these things
texting.
We need to do or how we need to get back with that other dad who questioned my masculinity. So we really need to be present with our kids when we are with them.
Present with purpose. I love that. And it's a wonderful way to end the show. And you suggested that parents savor the moment. And I have to share that I have savored having both of you on the show today. I've enjoyed sharing you, and I hope you will come back again and visit with us soon.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. And everybody out there, just be passionate about parenting. And appreciate you listening to the January show. And thanks again for having us, January.
Oh, it's been wonderful. And to my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as we enjoyed doing it and presenting it to you. My upcoming guests will amaze, amuse, and astonish you, just like Hogan and Josh have. You will hear inspiring information that will help you to become a successful parent, too. I'd love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success and our secrets for parenting. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guests today, Hogan Hilling and Josh Meisner. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey, and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. I hope you enjoy the music. Sorantos, I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.